Okay, here we are at a Sunday Night Live. You know, Sunday Night Lives begin as a, it just happened. I preached some lesson and at the end somebody from the audience just blurted out a question. Do you remember that several years ago? And then we kind of thought, well, you know, maybe some preaching sometimes and then afterwards letting the church ask questions is a really good thing. So tonight I'm going to talk to you about a topic. And afterwards, we're going to have a closing prayer, so we've concluded our worship time. And then the elders are going to come up and answer questions about this topic. Now, I picked this topic, and I wholeheartedly regret that I'm going to talk to you about this. You don't quite understand what I'm saying. Let me emphasize. I'm not sure I can get through this lesson without getting mad and my ears glowing and getting irate. And I'm not kidding you, okay? So I'm going to do my best to be a godly person because this topic tweaks my gizzard. Are you with me? So I'm going to try my best, do my best. Now, I've got an example prepared, and it's not what we're going to talk about, okay? I think you'll see that, but it's going to lead us into what we're going to talk about. What if, during these hard economic times, there was a family that lost their jobs? As a result of that, they lived as long as they could live on their finances, and then they ran out of money, and the bank foreclosed on their house and kick them out of their house. What if they took their tent down beside the river and pitched their tent down beside the river and stayed there, living off any little thing they could find until the point came when they were literally starving to death? What if at that point they decided to eat one of their children? Now, you should be saying right now, Dan, this is really extreme. You ain't seen nothing yet. Now, you might recognize this. Okay, let me back up. We're going to eat our child. Would someone in here please turn to your Bible and show me where the Bible says don't eat your children? Well, it must be okay then. Right? Now, you might recognize this as absurd thinking before God. Thinking that only a pagan mind would involve themselves in. But the truth is, before I get to the truth, this actually happened. In Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 31, his brother Ingle, where he at, pointed out to me, during the siege on Jerusalem, the siege lasted for 2 years under Nebuchadnezzar. For 2 years, no one came in and out of the city. That's part of the siege tactics. Shut off the supply lines. Those people got so hungry that they ate their children. And here is what Jeremiah says that God says. Jeremiah, if you want to look, Jeremiah 7 and 31. They have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire which I did not command. Uh-oh. That ain't exactly the verse I thought it was. But I'm going to make the same point with it. Okay. Actually, my point's there. I just don't know where to turn to find it. So let me tweak that point just a little bit. Some of Israel was involved in the sins of Molech. You know who Molech was? That was an ancient god in which they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to. And there was a famous king that did that. King Solomon sacrificed his own children, had them killed, okay, to appease this god Molech, and here is what he says. They burned their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, and it did not come into my mind. It was such an atrocity that God didn't even think to say anything about people not doing it, because it's so far removed from anything godly that God didn't say, don't do it. Now, that didn't mean that it was okay to do. Now, here's a biblical principle we got to latch our teeth into, and I'm supposed to be short. I got to really hurry here. Just because God doesn't say not to do it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean don't do it. Now, here's a great example. Leviticus chapter 10 is Nadab and Abihu. They offered strange fire before the Lord, unauthorized fire, and God killed them for it. Why? Because God told them exactly what to do, and that excluded everything else. Are you with me, church? Now, here's the topic for tonight. Abortion. Now, I know that this can be a sensitive topic. The likelihood is there's someone in here who's had an abortion. But the likelihood is that I'm a man of God, and I'm going to talk about the whole counsel of God, and this is a present sin in our society. It is an abominable thought that is only approached in a paganistic mindset. A Christian mindset would never even consider abortion. So anyone that's done that, tonight we're going to end up at the point where we understand that God forgives people of things. But between now and then, let me spill out my heart to you, and I think God's heart as well. Okay? Here's some statistics. Abortion is the most frequently performed surgery on adults in America. 1 out of 3 babies conceived in the United States is deliberately aborted. Since about 40% of all pregnancies are unplanned, this means that well over 2 out of 3 unplanned pregnancies are terminated by abortion. Abortions outnumber, live births in 14 major metropolitan areas. There are nearly 1.6 million reported abortions in this country every year. Can I repeat that? 1.6 million. There have been 28 million since abortion was legalized in 1973 by an ungodly Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade. Wade, that's right. Roe versus Wade. I pulled this up on the internet and I saw something I'd never seen before, and that's why I'm going to have trouble finishing this tonight. I saw an aborted baby with my own eyes. And I'm telling you, I can't hardly speak right now. In this country, human beings are killing babies. Oh, let's shoot some salt water up in mom and pickle the child to death. That's real, folks. Or let's go in there before the baby comes out and whack the baby in the head and suck its brains out. That's not even human. I'm going to talk to you about spiritual things. That never entered into God's mind. Okay, I better slow down. The following is a list of excuses about why abortion's okay. Human life doesn't begin until the baby hits the ground. Give me a break. The fetus is like a vestigial organ, like the tonsils or appendix. It's just a spare part. It's not really needed. The unborn fetus is just a wall of tissue. The fetus is a potential human, not a real human. Every woman should have control over her body. Abortion is a decision between a woman and her doctor and no one else. It's unfair for an unmarried woman to be embarrassed by pregnancy and or having to give a child up for adoption. Do you see why I'm having trouble doing the sermon? Abortion rights are fundamental for the advancement of women. Having unwanted children promotes child abuse. Abortion helps solve overpopulation. Now here's what I think. Where's a fine house when we need him? And if you don't know what that's about, go read Numbers chapter 25. Israel was involved in going out and committing adulteries with the other nations physically, and here comes this Israelite carrying some foreign woman on his arm, and they're doing their sexual misconduct, and all Israel just sitting there watching. And here comes Phinehas, excuse me, Dave, you'd laugh about that. I pronounce it incorrect so I can spell it right, but it's Phinehas. He comes along with a spear and kills them both. And you know what the text says? God was pleased with it. I'm not advocating murdering abortioners or abortionists or anything like that. But I'm saying there comes a point when God is really displeased with something in church. I think this is it. Certainly part of it. So that's why I made that statement. Here we go. Let me finish up. Abortion is murder. Thank you, guys. That takes the edge off here. Murder, because from conception they are babies and children being shaped in the very workshop of God. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us that God knew Jeremiah while he was still in the womb. Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, here comes Mary, the mother of Jesus, pregnant with Jesus, to Elizabeth, who's carrying John the Baptist, and guess what? John the Baptist leaped in the womb, didn't he? Oh, he's not alive. It just, the blob of tissue just shifted. Let me tell you what, I'm not pregnant, and I hadn't ever been pregnant, but I can tell you what, when my wife had children, forever in the world, she was making me put your hand here, feel this bump. Oh, I felt it move. Oh. Does anybody understand that the child's alive while it's in the womb? Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 23, is in an explanation of the law, talks about that if two men are fighting, and somehow they hit a woman that's pregnant, if it causes the woman to go into premature labor and she delivers the child, there's a penalty caused for making a woman go into premature labor. But if your action, you two fighting, causes this woman to lose the baby, then you are to be put to death. You think God cares about the unborn life? Most certainly he does. And let me tell you what, let's just don't mince words about it. Abortion's murder, folks. Abortion is also the shedding of innocent blood. Proverbs 6:16 says, there are six things that the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. If a baby's blood is not innocent, I don't know what would be. And it's classified in Proverbs chapter 6 as an abomination. That abomination talks about what's so detestable, it's almost unmentionable. Deuteronomy 27 verse 25 says a person that slays an innocent person is under a curse. Abortion is also an attempt to destroy God's work. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14 says, I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it and there's nothing to take from it. God has a hand in everything that goes on this earth. God has a plan for every child. He has a design, a purpose. Psalms 139 verse 13 says that you were formed For you formed my inward parts. You wove me, or you knit me together in my mother's womb. Church, God is present in the womb of a mother. We got some mothers here that are pregnant right now. You need to know that God's at work in your belly region. He's doing His thing. He's creating a child. Abortion takes away the plan of God for a child. Acts chapter 17, and Paul's address to those on Mars Hill. Verse 26, he says, He made one man, every nation of mankind, to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation. God knows every child personally. And God has a plan for them. He's created their habitation, where they're going to dwell, and the time that they're going to live, and He formulates them into His plan. What happens when you remove somebody out of God's plan? Does it affect how much God's will can accomplish? Certainly it does. The truth is about abortion. Abortion happens for one reason. People don't want the child. Now that's just it. That's the truth of the matter. Our society thinks that it has the right to stand in the place of God and say, no, I don't want you. Every child matters. Every baby counts. Abortion declares from the mountaintops a lack of faith is what it does. Romans 14 verse 23 tells us that which is not from faith is sin. And the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. To have an abortion is to take matters into your own hand and to dethrone God. Not to mention, I wrote this point down, but I feel silly making it because I really don't feel that I need to argue against abortion. I think it's just a matter of clear understanding. Kind of like Romans chapter 1 says that every man can look at the creation and know that there's a God. I think every man can look at killing a baby and say, that ain't godly. You know what I'm saying? I think it goes without saying. So this point that it violates the golden rule seems a little arbitrary to me. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'm going to kill you. Oh, good, I'll kill you. Okay, let me wrap up. Give these elders plenty of room to answer all your questions. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the Corinthians, do you not know that you're a temple of God and that the Spirit dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. I believe the only direct reason that God did not say not to abort babies is because He has so clearly told us what He wants and what He expects from us that it was so far removed from His mind He thought it went without saying. The God that I read about in here, I think He'd say, that goes without saying. But now here's the truth. Christian women, maybe and most possibly some sitting in here today, have done this. I want to tell you this. Murder's forgivable. King David had Uzziah murdered. And he, Psalms chapter 51, with a spirit of contrition in his heart, begged God for forgiveness, and God did forgive him. But you know, I thought that it was pretty important for us to bring this subject up, especially tonight for the young people. That's why we're taping this, because there's some young people that's not here that I want to hear this message. When you engage in sexual conduct that you're not supposed to engage in and you end up with a child outside of marriage or for whatever reason, then you say, I don't want the child. Let me tell you what, you're rebelling against the living God. You are sinning. You are committing an atrocity, an abomination to shed innocent blood. It is not an option. Abortion's not an option. If you engage in sin, you own up to that sin and you take the consequence of it. You don't murder an innocent child. Do you hear me, young people? I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway before I sit down. What about cases of rape and incest? Man, to talk about horrible that rape even exists. But I got an idea. How about let's kill the rapist and not the baby? I could do that with a clear conscience before God. I could be old Phineas. Okay, now that I've went across the line and got y'all wondering about my spirituality, my zeal is for God. I'm going to go pray about this, and the elders are going to come up and answer all your questions.
Scripture that I want to look at, and then I'll field questions. First of all, I want to reiterate that if any of you ladies have found yourself in that position in the past, God is a forgiving God, and He will forgive that. We want to be sensitive to those things. I just want to make sure you're aware of that. Second thing is, I am sorry. We probably should add a disclaimer on this for those who have really young children. I thought about that after the fact. I apologize if you had young children in here and were uncomfortable throughout all this. I'm sorry about that. But it is for the middle-aged people, young people, that was a good message to hear. Psalms 127, verse 3. Says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord." And I could almost stop right there. He says, "The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." The psalmist says that children are a gift from God. And if you read the Old Testament, you see how precious children were to those people who lived in the Old Testament times. And how desperate Hannah wanted to have a child. And Rachel wanted to have a child. And how destitute they were because they couldn't. And so we see that really in the Old Testament. We see a lot of that. So. Okay. You have any statements, questions, comments? Yes, sir, Mr. Benkowski.
My parents.
Well, thank you for that testimony, and I'd say, yeah, they gave you some really bad advice, whether they were elders or parents or who. And thank you for that testimony, and I do think you did the godly thing. Yeah. Any other questions or comments or testimony? Or you know, we sat down, us four guys, and we came up with a list of all the questions we knew were going to get asked. There they are. David. Thanks, Dan.
What do you tell somebody, a young person, that is pregnant by means of rape or incest? What do you tell them?
I know what my counsel would be. Do you, one of you guys have something that's on your heart that you'd want to address that?
I would tell that person how wrong what happened was, shameful and bad and wasn't right. And that person should be, Dan said, shot. But anyway, to tell that woman to go ahead with the pregnancy would be the way to go. There are so many young people, married couples, that are looking for babies. I mean, killing of life is not right. And we all know that. We got to have compassion on that person. We got to show love and support for that person and have her continue with that pregnancy. And I guess we just need to support her in every way we can. And maybe that's how we need to get, as Christians, that's our purpose in those situations. It's hard for, you know, I'm not a woman. I wouldn't know how I would feel if I was raped and had to get pregnant. It's hard to answer for that woman, but I would do my best to tell her it would be wrong. In God's eyes, it would be wrong. God cherishes life, and like Dan was saying in his message, there is life in the womb, even though they're saying that tissue isn't a person. They're saying, that's what the abortionists are saying. It's a tissue. It's a blob of whatever. It's not life. Well, they're wrong. We have a video that I would like this congregation to see. It's right on. I mean, we just got it. It's about abortion. And I think we need to see it. And we don't get angry at the person that's getting the abortion. We need to get angry at the person performing the abortion. The laws that are set in place, we need to be angry with them. Not to the point where we go out and murder and bomb, like what has been going on. We need to educate these people. We need to educate the women that are raped to let them know that there will be support and that we will give them everything that they need to go through with that pregnancy. I don't know what else to say except it's just wrong to abort life. Courtney?
Thank you.
And in that video, it talks about those concerns about how the abortionists, clinics, don't care about the woman, her emotional part of it, or they don't care about her, they're not compassionate. They don't explain to them that they'll go through some depression. They don't follow through with them. They do their thing, and they're done with them. And that's, there's no compassion in them people. And this was brought out in that video. I mean, the other elders haven't seen it yet because it was delivered to our house. And I haven't had a chance to bring it in. It'll be a good thing, I think.
Can I add something to that? Just in addition to all of what has been said, there's maybe I'm focused on a family who works for an abortion clinic, and it was her job to counsel these young ladies as they were coming in. And they told her to counsel young ladies that if they had cash, they could get right in. We could get you right in if you had cash. And it was her job to counsel them for the abortion, not against, so that they could bring more money in. Cash is best, but if you had to go through insurance or whatever, that's okay. We're going to get some money out of this anyway. That's the aspect they're thinking of. Of course, that was the point that turned her adamantly against this and is an advocate against abortion. I saw Sam's hand. I'll go with that. Okay. Brooke?
From folks on the family, have you heard her also testimony? I just heard the fact that she worked for the abortion clinic and eventually was called in to assist with a ultrasound-guided abortion where you can see what's going on, and she was called to just assist with that, and that was really a turning point for her because they always told the people who worked there that what to tell the women, you know, that you're not going to feel anything, the baby's not going to feel anything, and she said watching that, she realized that the baby doesn't know what's happening when they do that. And it completely turned her off to it then, and then she started questioning everything. And she worked for Planned Parenthood for a long time. Now, she, you know, she's with folks on family and stuff like that.
She did work for Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Said, okay. But, you know, I think sometimes we fall in the trap of thinking that this is something that's isolated, that it's like a subject all to itself, and I don't believe that. I mean, I think it's a lot bigger than that. I think women bear the brunt of it because they're the ones that are seduced into doing these things, and then the remorse and the guilt it bears on them pretty terribly later. But you know, Jesus said that wisdom would be vindicated by her children. And what he meant by that was that if you're doing something, you should think about where it leads. You know, nobody goes out and gets pregnant just so they can have an abortion. I mean, I've never even heard of that, even among crazy people trying to make a point that they just don't do that. But abortion it's a consequence of a way of life that is prevalent where we live. That it's a lot bigger. It's a symptom of something that's a lot bigger and a lot more invasive in our lives than killing a child, which is terrible wrong. I mean, it's part of this whole thing of living that we, you know, that people think that they can just do anything and it's okay, and that men can seduce women and women can seduce men, and that instead of living in families where people protect their daughters and their family member, you know, just everybody's out there and you can live, you know, just not ever expect anything bad to happen as a consequence. It's a whole way of life. And, you know, you pick Planned Parenthood. If you go back to the origins of Planned Parenthood, which is where I think this really took off, you know, it's like 110 years ago, I think, was when it was around the turn of the 19th century. It was all about, you know, getting rid of the Mongol races and all of the people that they didn't want. And, you know, it wasn't just a baby that they were choosing. It was whole groups of people that they were trying to get out of the population. And it's a wrong way of thinking. And I think it's a lot bigger than the child that's killed. Does that make sense? just a terrible, it's a terrible way of life that we find ourselves living in. And that, that'll work against the whole thing, not just one thing. As bad as this is, that we gotta work against the whole thing.
I could talk for about 3 days on what Ron just said, but this goes way farther than just a man and a woman coming together. This is how we raise our children. This is how we teach them to find mates. This is how we teach them to live in a society that is godless. Ron was right on the head. It's a way of life, and we as a church in this community have failed to teach our young children how to live life. We really have. We have fallen into the society's trap of it's okay to do this, okay to do that, but be careful. Be careful. I'm not going to go any farther because I'll get madder than Dan was. So.
Glenda and I have another child besides Josiah. Before we left home, Glenda was pregnant with our first boy, and I can remember going to the hospital for a checkup.
And the nurse left, and we could kind of sense that there was something wrong.
And when she came in, she indicated that our son was not forming correctly. And, you know, interesting what Carlene had said about, you know, having somebody to go to. This nurse was very uncompassionate. You know, it was like, well, you need to decide right now what you're going to do. And I would say at that time, I really didn't know where I stood on the issue of abortion. You know, I can't say for sure that I
was one way
or the other. We had both determined that abortion was not going to be an option. We turned to prayer. And I had my first radio job is in Bowling, Kansas.
Yeah, about 3 weeks after we got there,
Linda's doctor's visit told us
that our firstborn, James,
had died.
Interestingly, at the same time that was going on, there was headline news
down in Wichita of an infamous doctor by the name of George Tiller, who recently was just murdered. And the story was a brother had impregnated his sister in Detroit, and they were coming to Wichita because that was the only place they could go where they could get the baby aborted. And as we were grieving through our own loss, you know, we had very similar understandings of, as Dan mentioned, Hannah and Rachel, or I'm sorry, Dave, Sarah, who wanted the baby so desperately. And we understood those feelings. And I just want to add that, you know, in the moment of our loss, we would have done anything to have our child. Thankfully, God used that event to lead us into the Church of Christ. That's actually what the turning point was for us. And I might just throw one other thing out there. Dan mentioned already some biblical examples of a fetus having emotions and feelings. And I certainly would not feel that it was adequately covered unless we also throw in Jacob and Esau, who were a rival nation even within the womb, and God foretold that those two boys would be rivals. You know, a baby has a heartbeat from the very beginning, and a heartbeat is the indication of life. You know, you're a paramedic. You go, what's the first thing to check on? Is there a heartbeat? Is there breath? A heartbeat is in the indication of life. And, you know, I guess through our testimony, you know, we have come to the understanding that it is a child, and there is nothing more precious than that. And not only in terms of abortion, but even I would also throw in people who have killed young children, you know, because of not being able to take care of them or displaying their anger in that way.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
We have a good example that happened in this very building next door. All of you, anybody that remembers Brian Lastly knows that Kathy, when she became pregnant, that she carrying this girl, and they told her that she had to have an abortion, and her answer was, that is not an option. No, I will not have an abortion. Well, if you don't, your chances are slim and none. And she said, whatever will be. That little, how old is she now, huh?
11.
She's 11 years old now, their daughter, a beautiful young girl. Kathy is as healthy as she can be. And, there you go, there you go. You're going to say the same thing, weren't you? I remember I have twin brothers that were stillborn a year before I was born. And I remember the very few times I heard my mom talk about that how she loved those boys. Twin brothers I have. Anybody that can willfully harm one of their own I feel sorry for, because they have not been taught to love their own children, let alone their neighbor, and whatever you want to call it. Anyway, Carl, I'll shut up.
Thank you, Dwayne. I'm glad you brought up Brian and Kathy. I thought of them earlier today, because you're exactly right. I advise Kathy, because those that don't know, Brian and Kathy were members here a number of years ago. She developed breast cancer while she was pregnant, or got pregnant while she had breast cancer. I don't know exactly. And the doctors are like, if we give you this treatment, it'll harm the baby. You need to have an abortion so we can do this treatment. Their faith in God said, no abortion, no treatment until the baby's born. Pictures approved. So it can happen. The faith has just got to be there. And I appreciate your story, Dave, because that can help a lot of people. The compassion, the lack of compassion by these people is what kills us. And I can testify to that. As a paramedic, I can tell you we don't have compassion, or not much. Because if we did, especially abortion clinics, I don't know how they could have compassion and do what they do. The two don't go hand in hand. They're complete opposites. As a medic, when I walk upon people that are severely injured, I have to shut part of myself down. I have to. Nurses and doctors have to do the same thing in order to perform a job. If I break down and start crying, I'm no good to you when you have a heart attack or your arm is half amputated. I have a job I have to perform, so I have to shut part of me down. And let me tell you, it affects every other part of my life for a long time. When my kids come up to me with a bloody nose or a scratched knee, it's not like coming up to their mom. It's like, suck it up, man. You should have seen what I've seen yesterday. You know, take a .44 Magnum to the temple and now talk to me about your scratched knee, you know. But that's the lack of compassion on my part that affects everything I've done. That's slowing down because I'm not on the ambulance every day, but not entirely. Nurses have the same thing. ER nurses, ER doctors, you have to shut part of that down. So when you want to talk about compassion and talking to people about what they're doing, it's hard. They can't. They can't give you all the ins and outs in counseling when they're going to go in and do what they're going to do. They can't go hand in hand. Ron?
Jesus said, thorns don't grow on
the
tree. I think this lack of passion isn't all my terrible, but they're like that. It's just the when they do these things,
I agree.
A little different than a nurse who wants to help somebody in a clinic or an office or ER. You know, they're there to help. They have to shut part of that down to do their job. As a medic, I didn't go anywhere that I wasn't called to go. You know, people wanted me there before they called. I had to do that to shut down. I didn't go into those clinics to make a ton of money off. And I think part of the reason the laws are what they are, Dave mentioned it, if you got cash, baby, cash talks. 1.6 million abortions. What does an abortion cost in this country? I have no clue, no idea how much it costs to perform that. But if there's 1.6 million of them and it's only $1,000, look at the cash you're talking that industry has in it. I mean, money talks in this corrupt world. So I've talked enough. Anybody want to say any more? Say something. Hold on a sec, Carol.
Talking about counseling and advice you're given, when I found out I was pregnant with Stephen, I was 42 years old, and that was the first counsel that I got, was to have an amniocentesis, because at my age, the odds of something being wrong with a baby were so much more increased. And I asked them why, because if anything was wrong, I wasn't going to do anything about it anyway. I trusted in God, and Stephen has been the blessing of our life. But that was the first option that they gave me, was to check and see if he was okay so that I could have something done if he wasn't.
I remember that same conversation with my wife and I wanted us to have that test.
I just kind of want to address our young people, because I'm a mom who had a daughter come to me and tell me that she was pregnant, in fact, more than once. And it was really hard, and it really hurt, and it was a really big blow. But I can't imagine ever finding out that one of my children had an abortion and that I didn't have a grandchild because they had an abortion. So abortion is not the answer. Jaden and Nadia are the blessings of my life. I can't imagine not having them as grandchildren. Even though it was really hard when she came to us and told us she was pregnant. But children are a blessing no matter how they come. And I just want the kids to remember that. Don't be afraid to go to your parents with something like that. When Jenny came to us, I just said, this baby will be loved. And every baby is loved.
Love can overcome a lot. I just want to say one more thing before I put this down. Talking about incest rape and even just regular unwanted pregnancies, because abortion has become a birth control. That's what it's become. I don't know what the percentage is, but I'll bet it's pretty darn small how many abortions are performed in this country every day that reflect the health of the mother. 1%, Dan said he knows. And I didn't do the math, 1.6 divided by 365, that's not very many. We don't know God's intention for the children that are inside the womb. We know God's knitting them together for a purpose. We've already talked about that. We don't know what their purpose is. They may have the next most important job in the world when their time comes. Why do we want to take that away from God? I'm not a woman. I'm not a mother. I can't even imagine what it takes to even think about it. But I am a child of God, and I know God loves everyone. And He definitely treasures children, since He's the one that's knitting them together. And that's all I'm going to say. You want any more? Anybody else got anything they want to ask or talk about?
I guess I feel maybe a little bit different. Not that I'm a nurse, or because I'm a nurse. I guess I feel like if someone was raped and they do have a pill that they can, just the day or day after, there's no heartbeat. I guess I might be, and that's only 1%. As far as with babies that have a heartbeat, and you know, I think that that's wrong to be aborted or to have an abortion. I think another time that abortion might be acceptable would be when the health of the mother would be in jeopardy, and to save the mother's life. And I know that there's cases where, like was described here tonight, and I know of other cases where the mother chose to go ahead and have the baby, even though it put her in jeopardy, and sometimes the mother dies because of that. But that's her, you know, that's her decision. She wanted that baby to live. And just like to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it says that there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So overall, I think that I'm in agreement with everything that was said here tonight, maybe with a few exceptions. But if we don't allow the baby to be born, you know, I think God does have a purpose for each child. And you know, if we take that child's life, we are taking that purpose away. Sometimes, you know, women have miscarriages. Carol had a miscarriage at 3 months, and you know, that was difficult because that was our first. And you know, to anticipate, you know, having your first child, and then that being taken away. And so, you know, I mourn that child that wasn't, didn't happen. But then, you know, God blessed us. I think about Travis and Tahira, and how many times, five times they lost their 6, 7, 8, 10. A lot of times they tried to have a child and were unsuccessful. And then we prayed for Arabelle. And, you know, God did the same thing that He did for Hannah and others, for Sarah in the Bible. So God is at work today, and praise God. Guess I would like to sing 671, and then Carl is going to lead us in a closing prayer.